The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Lotus Place listeners, and welcome. Welcome to the Lotus Place Radio Show. This is Arja. I'm opening up for Black Rose, who has landed in Houston from Detroit and should be popping in the door any moment now. At which point I will need to put the phone on mute because her babies will go absolutely mad. To seeing her make all kinds of racket. And that, my Lotus listeners, would be very rude for your ears because they're very loud. So how is everyone doing? Welcome. We will have 2 hours of lively conversation, behind-the-scenes information, and just plain elevation of your spirit. So we've got some wonderful things lined up. For mind, body, and spirit later on, we'll have some good things for our ladies. Delta Cougar had asked at one of our recent shows, she wanted something for tips on losing weight. So I have lots and lots of tips, and I will share just a couple of them tonight. I will only give you a few bites at a time. Don't want to overload you. And then also I have some wonderful tips on skincare, and I think that ladies will really appreciate that. Men, you need skincare too. We like to look at good skin. We like to look at skin that is even tone and smooth. And so men need to take care of their skin also. So you may find some of these tips useful as well. When I did facials, and I was in the skincare business for a while. When I did facials for men as well, and they noticed the difference. And plus they love the little extra, you know, touching and rubbing and pampering. Men love to be pampered also, I've noticed. They like to be pampered like women. So these tips will serve you as well. And let's see, to start off, I have a couple of quotes. Actually, I did have a Netflix pick I wanted to share with folks. For those of you who enjoy Netflix, let me see who's waiting to be piped in. No one at this point in time. Okay, so Halle Berry has a new movie out. It's on Netflix. It's called Catwoman. I love Halle Berry. She's a beautiful woman, but like a lot of beautiful women, she had some self-esteem problems. You think the most beautiful people are so confident, but you never know what is going on with them personally. And as you know, she's had some difficulty with her male friends. But she played in this movie called Catwoman, and since I love Halle Berry, I decided to watch it. This movie I thought was worth sharing because it wasn't just for entertainment. I look at movies for what kind of message can I get out of them, like The Matrix and movies like that. There's a movie out where you have to pay for time. When you run out of time, you just drop dead. And that was a very good movie. I think it was called In Time. So, And you never know. You never know. We're paying for water. We're paying for energy, which should be free. So the movie, Catwoman. Now, it's about an Egyptian Mau, M-A-U. The Egyptian Mau is a cat. It's a very rare cat, and it has special powers. And it was stolen. Now, this is the true part. This is not part of the story. The Egyptian Mau was actually stolen from Egypt by a Russian princess. She was exiled. And she had a meeting with an Egyptian ambassador who brought the Egyptian Mau with him. And she stole it, as people do from people of color. They steal. So that's how it got where it is in the world. But it's still rare. So the movie, I'm not going to tell you all about it, but it starts out with Halle Berry saying, "It all started the day I died." So that in itself was enough to pique my interest. But in the movie, she starts out as this real insecure, lonely, people pleaser type person, apologetic for everything, gifted as many of us are. Everyone has a gift. Everyone has at least one gift. She was gifted, but she just didn't know. See, someone is on here. She just didn't know. She just wasn't confident in herself. And she was a people pleaser. She accepted everything that anybody said to her. She was very insecure. And she actually died. She did die. And the cat saved her. And so she had these little special cat-like powers. Now, what interested me in the movie is that Delta Cougar, are you on the line? Is that Delta Cougar that I just piped in?
That is correct.
Hello, dear. I'm telling this movie, this Netflix movie about Halle Berry in Catwoman. So, Black Rose said that we were going to start doing Netflix picks, just telling people about different Netflix movies that we've seen, and just tell them what we thought about it, give them our views and opinions on them, and suggest that they watch them because they have a little message. So in this particular message, like I said, she was a people pleaser, something I used to be. And after she had this encounter with this cat, she actually went out on the ledge of her home to save this cat. And so this cat repaid her by giving her these powers. But in the movie, she says, "I longed for someone to see what was special in me. What I really needed was for me to see it." And that's what a lot of us go through. We feel that we're special. Like me for years, it's like, I'm a special person. Why does everybody see it? You know. But I was trying to convince other people that I was special. But it's something that you have to know within yourself. And then it will exude from you. But people can pick up on your vibes, your vibrational level, when you don't feel comfortable or at ease with yourself. Because your energy, it's transparent. You can feel it. Like sometimes I can walk in a room and I can feel negative energy. Or somebody can walk in the room and I can feel their negative energy. Some people can pick up on energies a little better than others. So that's what I really liked about it. She was a very, very special person, but she didn't know that she was special until she had this encounter with this cat. And she did something. I'm not going to say what she did, but then she did it while she was in this other person, you know, the Catwoman person. And she would do things and she would know she did it. And then when she realized it, she would do a little note to, "I'm sorry," you know. And so the cop was analyzing her handwriting, because she did an "I'm sorry" to him and then an "I'm sorry" on a burglary. And he looked at the both, you know, both of the handwriting, and he was trying to, you know, see, is this the same person? Oh, no. And the cop is, he's a really good cop. I forgot what movie he played in, but he's, what do you call it? Cuban. Yeah. So in the, when he's trying to decipher her handwriting, this expert handwriter, a person says, well, these are two totally different persons. You know, this person is just like a, you know, just go get 'em kind of person, is fierce and not afraid to take chances and risk. But this person here, this person is apologetic and he has low self-esteem. You can see by the curve here, you know, he was analyzed and actually, and when he said it, the guy said, so these are not the same persons, right? He says, I don't see how they could be in the same body. So actually, this was her, you know. So the other her was, you know, was trying to come out. So I said all that to say, I really enjoyed the movie because, you know, my theme song is I'm Coming Out. So I'm Coming Out by Diana Ross. And in her song, she said something like, there's more to me than what you see. And that's when she left the very gaudy thingamajig recording and just started, you know, doing some things independently and more vivacious, more daring, you know, on her own. So that is my Netflix pick of the week, Catwoman. If you got Netflix, you're paying for it, watch that. You'll really enjoy it. It was not just about a Catwoman flying around doing things. It really had some meaning to it. It really had some oomph to it. I learned some things, and I highly suggest it. I'm not really big on movies, like I say. I like to watch movies so that I can get a message, and I also like to see what the powers to be are planning, because a lot of times they put their plans in movies. They're getting over so well that they just can't, you know, keep it to themselves. You're like a killer who goes to jail, doing something wrong, and then he gets in the jail and he starts boasting like, yeah, man, I took that knife and I did this and then that. You know, like, oh, you can't keep that to yourself. Okay, well, let me go tell somebody else. So, that's my run of the mill for the opening of the show. What you got for us, Delta Cougar?
Hi, everybody doing tonight? How you doing, Audra?
Well, you know, I'm doing fantabulous. Fantabulous, fantastic, and fabulous at the same time.
Oh, that sounds real good. I know you're glad to see Black Rose flying back in tonight.
Yes, yes, she'll be flying in and flying out in less than 48 hours. She has to go right back. Yeah, she's got to go for training, you know, in Baltimore. Yeah. So, we make the most of the time while she is here.
Oh, I hate that. I didn't know she was. I thought she was going to be in for a minute or two.
Oh, no. Actually, I thought she was going to stay for more days than you know, what she said. I thought she would be leaving like Wednesday or so. But no, she leaves right out Sunday.
Sunday night.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's a good thing that she said on the interview that she didn't mind traveling because, bye-yo! She's getting it.
Okay. Well, no, Audra, I don't have a movie story because.
No, that was just something. Huh?
I said you would laugh. Me and Papa like to look at a lot of oldies.
Oh, do you?
And Papa loved Andy Griffin. Papa can watch Andy Griffin all day long.
Does he whistle?
No, he don't do the whistle.
He don't do the whistle?
He loves to see Bonnie Price. He loves himself some Barney Fife, because he said, you don't know what Barney going to do next. Because Barney is so goofy.
Yes, so, he was. He really.
So we watched it tonight. We watched it tonight.
I haven't seen that in forever.
It comes on. Sometimes it comes on twice a day.
Isn't it interesting how the little boy grew up to be such a famous movie director, Opie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's really quite interesting.
Yeah, and he played in the movie today on Andy Griffith. And his daddy was getting on him. The storyline was he got up that morning and they all sit down. In the old days, if you look at the movie, they all got up that morning and eat breakfast together.
Uh-huh.
The aunt fixed the breakfast and everybody comes to the table and sit down and eat. The young man was doing the homework and his daddy asked him, No, you don't need to be doing homework in the morning time. You should have did it that night. He told his daddy, it's okay, the teacher liked me. And I don't have to, do all that studying or whatever. So the next day, it was time to get their grades, their poll card. So he got his poll card and he had all A's on it. And he was so happy, the daddy bought him a bike. So the next day, he went to school, and the teacher called him up to her desk, and she told him, she said, Opie, I want you to know that I'm sorry. Your poll card, I made a mistake on your grades. Your poll card, you did not get all A's. One of your grades was an F. And the young man, he was so distraught because he didn't have all A's. And his biggest thing was, is he did not want to disappoint his daddy. Under no circumstances, he didn't want to disappoint his daddy. And he was so ashamed for getting an F, but he didn't tell the daddy. He was so ashamed, and the daddy found out because every time he got ready to go to tell his daddy that he didn't make all A's, he had an F, his daddy would go into this long speech about, how proud he was of him for getting all A's. So the young man never could tell his daddy.
He did attempt
three times in the movie to tell his daddy. But every time he would go in there to tell his daddy really wouldn't give him a chance. His daddy just kept going on and on about how proud he was. So he was so heartbroken. He got up and made him some sandwiches and left a note on his bed and told his daddy that he was running away to join the Navy. And so when his daddy caught up with him, he wanted his daddy to know that the reason he was running away, he didn't want his daddy to be disappointed that he didn't get all A's.
We do that to our children. We put pressure on them like that.
But today, and I was telling Icy Hot early today, when I was a girl coming up, we did everything in our power to please our mother and our father. You did not want to bring no shame or nothing on your parents. But now the kids don't have no qualms of anything. It don't even save them for bringing shame on the family's name.
Save
them no kind of way.
Not at all. I remember in high school, I mean, I like boys. I mean, I didn't do a lot of dating because my little sister was 16 years younger than me, and my mom worked the 3-to-11 shift as a nurse. So that was one of my, you know, prerequisites of living there, you know, take care of my little sister. So gangs and stuff like that, anything that happened at night, I was there. But the fact that my mom was away at night from 3 p.m. to 11 p.m., that left the whole night wide open, you know, to do whatever is clever. But what was on my mind was, I cannot get pregnant. And of course, you know, I wasn't taking any birth control pills or anything like that. You know, 16, 17 years old. I was just like, uh-uh. I can't get, bad girls get pregnant. You know, that's what I was taught. You know, anybody got pregnant, you know, in your high school, I'm not saying you're bad, but that's what we were taught. You know,
you did that. You bring shame on.
Yeah.
You brought shame on the family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what you was taught. And now,
Black Rose is on the line. Mm-hmm. She must be in her vehicle on the way home.
And now this day and time, kids don't care what type of shame they bring. Cause one of my hot topics is, and now this something I heard Black Rose say this before. We need to talk about mental illness. It's a lot. People run from mental illness. Nobody wants to talk about it. Everybody knows that they have a child or family member or somebody with an illness. A mental illness, they do not want to talk about it. They want to sweep it under the rug.
Exactly.
And this young man was in St. Louis, and he is known in his family. When he got to be a teenager, he starts suffering with bipolar and schizophrenia. And you know, they always said when they do that, they started using drugs, but they said they're using drugs to try to drown out the voices that's talking to them.
Exactly. And the mind is just going so fast.
Mm-hmm. And they said the young man over the weekend killed his entire family. He killed his mother, his father, and his two sisters, and himself.
Oh, he killed himself.
And set the house on fire.
Can you get any worse? That's horrible.
But what I'm saying is, we need to start addressing mental illness in the family. And we need to stop being ashamed. If you know a family member or a child that's having mental illness, we need to try to seek treatment. We need to not be ashamed of it. Why is such a stigma to be shamed and talk about mental illness? Why is
mostly with the people of color, it's something that we felt that needed to stay within the home, because they didn't say mental illness, they didn't say chemical imbalance, the proper way to describe it. They just said crazy. You know, and nobody wanted to have anyone in their family be called, quote unquote, crazy. But like you said, I mean, it was there. It was there. People laugh. People can be so mean. People can be so cruel when somebody is different. And that hurts. You know, it hurts.
Yes, you're right.
When people say retard, you know how they used to say that? You can't say that anymore. But retard, you know, you just say it with such. I just hate to even say that word. But I mean, just think of how the person felt, because they cannot do anything. Like you said, they have to seek some kind of medical treatment. But for them themselves, they can't do anything. They can hit their heads, you know, scream, and like you say, get onto some kind of drug that will calm them, you know. But just imagine how that person feels when it's inside of them, you know. And when it's a child, the mother is the one who has to take the step to do something, you know. She's the one. If she doesn't do anything, then nobody else is going to do anything. Even if the father says, baby, I think we need to take... No, he's just fine. He's just fine. There's nothing wrong with him. He's fine. You know, they don't want to face the fact that life is going to be different. Life is going to be hard for this child if I start them out, if I admit that there's something wrong with them. You know? It's a very difficult thing. It's a very, very difficult thing. My brother had some kind of chemical imbalance, and I did not know what it was. My mother never talked about it, you know. I was just like, you know, we all loved him. He never struck out against us, was never violent toward us or anything like that. But it was hard for him to keep a job, you know. And it wasn't until after he was gone that my mother really talked about it. And I was like, really? Really, Mom? You know, why didn't you, you know, tell us this?
Well, what I would wonder is, so did it stem from his childhood, or was it something else?
That's what I thought.
He was born like this.
No, not always, Bethel Cooper. This is something that,
because mental trauma can cause, like, some changes in your brain function.
It can.
I mean, like,
it can.
Being shuffled around from home to home, feeling unwanted.
Yeah.
Things like
exactly.
That. That can cause you to have some mental stress and strain that can lead
that's really what I thought, because he did get shuffled around quite a bit. I mean, when my brother and I were sent to stay with my mom, my mom said that she could only keep me. She could not keep both of us. Can you imagine the trauma that a child feels? Let's see, I was 15, so that means that he was 12, basically. Yes, 12. So that meant that he was 12. Your father has sent you away to stay with your mother. Your mother says, no, I can't keep you. You'll have to go back and live with the mean grandparents. That's when I thought, oh, Lord, what must he be feeling? What must my younger brother be feeling at this moment? That is enough to send you way out in left field, you know? Because he was fine before then, to me, you know? So, yes, Black Rose.
You're right. You is absolutely correct. It's absolutely. And we got so much stress going on in our lives today.
Mm-hmm.
It'll drive us. Lonely. You know, I hate to say it like that, but it will. It'll drive us lonely.
Yeah. Yes, when I'm walking, when I see people on the street, and you know, you can tell because there's something not quite right because they're talking to themselves or they're doing that thing with them with their hands, and I say to myself, because I'm just like feeling for them, I'm like, what happened? What happened in your life to put you right where you are right now? You know, what happened? Not necessarily were you born this way. What traumatic thing happened that just made you check out? You know? I read about Alzheimer's a long time ago, and it really, really made me think. It said something, this is D. Herbs. This guy is just really into all natural healing supplements. And he did a piece on Alzheimer's. And his piece was very interesting because it gave you a whole nother look at Alzheimer's. And he said that he had discovered that people, I won't say all people, but some people who had come down with Alzheimer's were people who led a life of being extra givers. They led a life of being martyrs, mostly women. Led a life just things hadn't worked out for them. The things just really hadn't worked out for them. They'd always given, and didn't seem to get back what they'd given, and life had just gotten so tough on them that they just decided to just say, well, you know what? I'm going to go in this little place that I've created in my head. And I'm just going to make this little place for myself. And I'm just going to cut myself off from the rest of the world because it's just too much for me to handle. And that's where they stay. That's kind of interesting, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And you know
like,
what?
I hate
to say it. We got a lot of people, and I hate to say it, a lot of black folk that's in the church. I know because I'm one of them that's in the church. When you go to talking about mental illness, everybody go to running. Because it's a stigma. And it's really not. They can't help themselves. They are
no, they can't.
Ill.
It's the chemicals in their brain are not shooting like they're supposed to. You know.
Yep. That is, you know what? That is so true. But we will go.
Let me see. Let me pull up a quote. Now listen to this. Sometimes in life, a situation will keep repeating itself until you learn your lesson. In traditional schools, we're given lessons and then tested. In life, however, the universe gives us tests until we learn the lesson. You see how that's reversed? In schools, we're given lessons, like get your lesson, and then you're tested on what you've been given, what they've fed to you. You know, it's mostly memorized.
Yeah.
Okay. But in life, the universe gives us tests. Let me test you on this. Let me test you on that. Let me test you on this. Until you get it. I kept doing the wrong thing, and I kept saying, why does this keep happening to me? You know, like the thing I said, you walk down the street, you step in the hole, and you're like, oh, God, where am I? In the hole again? Walk down the street, you step in the hole. Oh, no, I'm never hearing this hole again. You know. So I kept saying that. I kept wondering, why does this keep happening to me? I'm trying to be, I'm morally correct. I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to do that. But I just didn't get it. I didn't get it right away. But I finally got the lesson. I finally got it. It was about loving me. It was about loving me. I was loving everybody. You know, mm-hmm. I want to be, you know, the bum on the street, you know, a guy who wants to talk to me. And I'm thinking, well, he's not really my type, but I don't want to judge people. He seems nice, you know, you know. And then I say, now, I knew that wasn't going to work. Why did I waste my time? You know, I wasn't loving me. I wasn't feeling that I was worthy of such and such. You know, it took a long time. It took a long time. So now I am in the middle of having what I call a love affair with myself, which we should all do. Sometimes we'll just spend so much time giving love to someone else, but we forget about the number one, loving yourself. I actually wrote a love letter to myself. I wrote a love letter to myself. It was a nice letter.
And can I ask a question before you read your letter?
Oh, I'm not going to tell you about my letter. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, no, I wanted to, when you say write the letter and love letter to yourself,
uh-huh.
That's sort of like the same as almost, it's, you got to be really self-confident in yourself. Some people,
well, you know, when I started writing the letter, I wasn't there yet. You know, I did this at the suggestion of someone else. I said, write yourself a letter. I'm like, huh? You know, so I just started writing this letter and I said, okay, I know this person,
hey,
and she does
Audra,
this.
Audra. Uh-huh. Miss Hattie just sent a text. She says she at 507. Open up her line.
Okay. See, I told Miss Hattie. I don't know all her numbers. Miss Hattie. Damn, there you are.
Good evening.
Good evening. How are you? I see. Hi. Are you icy or are you hot?
It depends on what's happening. Some things I'm icy and some things I'm not.
You know what? You ladies, you have these nice cool names. You have Icy Hot and then you got Delta Cougar. Delta Cougar, who gave you that name? Did you think of that name yourself?
No, you know Randy gave all of us our same thing.
Oh! Okay. Well, you know what? Randy is not here, and I'm going to give myself a stage name because I want a stage name also. So y'all ready?
Yes, what's yours?
Yeah.
My stage name is Feather Light.
Ooh, I like that.
Feather Light. Feather Light. Okay?
Oh.
Yes. Mm. Now, let me tell you how I came up with this. Actually, I have a Facebook, and it's Aminia Feather. And I looked up the words, you know, what it meant and all that. Of course, you can kind of put together, two and two together, what Feather and Light mean. But I came up with this name because you remember the song that Erykah Badu had out some years back called Bag Lady? Bag Lady. Okay. All right, let me hum a few bars. Okay. Bag Lady, you gonna hurt yourself carrying all them bags like that. So pack light. So pack light. See, we, especially women, we carry a lot of baggage from one relationship to the next. Okay? whatever happened in that relationship, you don't get rid of it, you take it to another relationship. Next thing you know, you're having a little disagreement, a little misunderstanding, because you didn't get cleared what you should have gotten cleared in the last relationship. So you're bringing all that baggage. So her song was saying, you're carrying all those bags, you're going to hurt yourself. And when the guy see you coming, he's going to run because you got all that baggage. So she says, so pack light, pack light. Don't take all that with you. So I am packing light. Light as a feather. Plus, there's this thing that says, the lighter you are, the higher you can fly. You like that? The lighter you are,
the higher
you can fly. Hey, two snaps up and a twist. So, my name is Thug-a-Lie.
That sounds really neat.
I have a 7-1. Oh, who she was?
Mr. Brown?
That's Canty. Canty needs to be open. That's Canty Mike.
I have Canty as 718, but I don't see a 718.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Now, Black Rose was open, and then she got muted. Maybe she has had some, background noise.
Is that Black Rose, a 713, or is that a friend?
That's Black Rose 713.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hi, Black Rose.
She's probably on mute. She's probably muted herself because she's actually in the car on the way home.
Oh, okay. So what's our subject tonight, ladies?
Let's see. I think we have what's on your mind, sex, love. You know what? I had a question about relationships, and it kind of had a little bit something to do with one of our letters. When is it okay for? And this the lady doesn't have to be married to the man. When is it okay for a woman to end a relationship when she has children? You know, sometimes women will stay in a relationship for the children, you know, when they're together, and the man is in the home, when they're married or whatever. And they stay for the children. So when is it not okay to stay in a relationship that you know is not working when you both have little ones, underage children?
I think if it's about abusive, you know, physically or emotional abuse.
Okay.
It's not okay.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's okay to leave.
So, but emotional, okay, I agree with you on the abuse, the physical abuse.
If he's not abusing you, I think you should stay right there and raise your kids. As long as he's not abusing you, I think you should stay and raise your kids. Because the reason I say that, and y'all know I always have a story behind mine, because I can look at a situation with my son and his wife divorced. And my son came home one day, and the house was empty, even though they was having problems. But what happened out of that situation, she left for someone on her job. She met a man on her job, and she left her husband for this man. Then what happened is, now you know who suffer more than anything? Are the children. The children. And I remember when I married my husband, I was very young. And my father-in-law said to me one day, because me, I was young, and my father-in-law, me and my husband must have been arguing. I can't remember, but I know my father-in-law told me these words. He said, me and they mama came to an agreement that we would stay together and raise these two boys. He said, and when these two boys got grown, we would go our separate ways. And my husband and his wife, my father-in-law, they did that. And when they bought, when my husband, he was married before he was married to me, and he married when he was 18. And then when they, and my husband is 4 years older than his baby brother. And when his baby brother turned 17, where he was 17, getting ready to turn 18, the mother left, and they went their separate ways, just like they said. They stayed there and stuck it out until the boys got grown. When the boys got grown, they went their separate ways. And I think if you can stay there and toughen it out, long as nobody ain't beating anybody, but when you got kids, there are times you got to put your feelings aside. And see, a lot of people don't realize this. People today, a lot of women today, a lot of women don't want to put their feelings aside. It's all about them. It's not about the kids anymore. It's about
me and how I feel. Let me speak on that. Let me speak on that because there are two sides. There are two sides. Everybody doesn't feel that way. And
that
the reason why I ask that question is because a lot of times a woman will do that. She will put her feelings aside to raise the children, to live in a relationship, to be in a relationship where she is totally unhappy. Every single day, she's not being beat on, but there's such a thing as emotional abuse. Emotional abuse has a lot more lasting effect to me than the physical abuse. The physical abuse, the wounds will heal, but the emotional abuse lasts for years and years. Sometimes a mother, a wife, will stay with the with her husband for the children, and then the children will still suffer. They will still suffer. I know someone whose husband got a baby on her, an outside child. He had several online relationships. He had a relationship at the office. He was always going out of town, just all kinds of stuff. I can't really go into everything that he did, but because this person, I cared for her, I was with her. Like, okay, it's hard for me to see this. It's hard for me to understand why you're still there, but I'm with you. You know, I'm with you. And it was always, I want these children to have a father, you know. Okay, so in the end, the husband was just so, I can't even think of the word for it. He ended up just walking out. He said he had to get another place. He told her that he just didn't love her anymore. And he got his own little place. By then, the kids are like teenagers, okay? Because it started when they were very young. They're like teenagers, almost out of high school. And the boy is suffering tremendously because he sees that the woman, that his mother is suffering, and he loves his mother. Children know when their parents, especially the woman, they know when their mother is unhappy. Like the saying goes, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. I don't feel always that it is the best thing to do when you are that unhappy to stay with someone who is making you unhappy just so you can keep the family together. When the children see that you're unhappy and they're unhappy too, plus this sends out a message to the children, okay? It sends a message out to the children that no matter what is going on, you stick it out and you take it. The woman, the daughter will go up thinking, okay, I saw my mom do it. No matter what dad did, she always just stayed with him. So she'll get herself in the same kind of situation. She'll think that this is what she's supposed to do. The son will grow up thinking, oh, I can do whatever I want to because my wife ain't going nowhere because that's what I saw my mom and dad do. And shoot, I'm going to go out here and be a hoe, whatever I want to be, because in the life, in the traditional life, the woman going to stay with the man because the man can do whatever he wants. So this is sending the message to them. Now, I understand what you're saying, Delta Cougar, and sacrificing, but as women, we sacrifice all the damn time. I sacrificed. I knew I didn't want to stay with my husband. I knew it. But I stayed with him because of my child. My child knew I was unhappy. She saw it. She knew I was just miserable. I had to wait till he'd go to work before I would dance, because I'm a dancer, and I like to dance around the house. But I wouldn't dance in front of him, because of the relationship that we had. Children see that. They see parents unhappy. And I don't want my child to grow up thinking, this is marriage. This is what you got to look forward to. You stay with your husband and you make it work no matter how unhappy you are. You know, I don't want them to think that this is what they got to look forward to. This is what marriage is all about. If you are being emotionally abused, get the hell out. Explain to that child that it didn't work. Keep that man involved in that child's life. He can be involved in helping raise that child and not necessarily have to be under that same roof. If it ain't working, it ain't working. That's my thoughts on it. I saw my mother stay with her husband. For all those years, I saw him mistreating her, and I'd be damned if I didn't get married and have someone do me like that. I'm like, wait a minute, I don't want to do what my mom did, but this is why I am. Scotty, did I hear you?
Yes. I didn't know if you knew you had a caller on the board, but, I mean, I was thinking about it because I'm divorced myself, and, you know, I raised my daughters. I got custody of my daughters while they were still in elementary school, and there was no way I could stay with that woman. You know what I'm saying? It's just no way because, yeah. I mean, you know, it's not just physical abuse. It's also emotional abuse. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And some things are just unforgivable. So why would you stay in a household with somebody, and the children will pick up that there's no love, you know, in that relationship.
Yes.
And so that could have a negative impact on them, you know.
On the children.
And I mean, there's no kind of, I mean, if we could work out our problems to the point we could stay together that long for the sake of till children turn, you know, into adults, then, I mean, what kind of marriage is that? I mean, what about sexual relations and physical contact and all that? I could not be in a marriage with and do that for the number of reasons I stated. But again, you do have a caller on the board.
Okay, let's see. 804, caller 804, I'm going to open up your mic. And the last two digits are 1251. Do you want to make a comment? Anita Holman. Do you want to make a comment, or are you just listening? Going once.
He's just listening. That's our retired policeman.
Well, that's the caller's cue. That's how you notify.
Q&A cue is cleared.
The host that you have a question, and, you know, you want your mic unmuted, is to hit star 6 and 1. So if they do want to answer the question, maybe they had themselves on mute or away, just come back here, star 6 and 1. Any other listeners can do that to let you know, Aja.
Okay, and I wanted to comment on something, Dottie, our host, our gracious host, Dottie. Now, see, y'all know me. I always have something to say. And the reason I say that, because I saw my mother, and she left my father, and my father, he wasn't a good father at all. And when I was a little girl, I was 12 when she left. I was about 12, 11, I remember. And I was happy she left. But my mother went and she met another man. And he was worse than my father. That's why I heard my mother say a many days that if she had to do it all over again, she would have stayed home. And that
She just made a bad choice.
But that have stayed with me. What I'm saying is, there are times that you leave and you go and get something worse than what you have.
Well, yeah. You don't do that, though. You know, that's what I'm saying. You don't, from what it sounds like you described, or the situation that was described, with the woman leaving for a guy on her job. So she was probably engaged in adultery anyway, in an affair with him, which is on her. That's no way, reflection on him. And, you know,
right.
I just could not stay, you know, I don't know. It sounded like their agreement was, you know, we just going to be in the same household. And I'm like, how does that work? Do they have separate beds? Mm. Do they have separate rooms? And, you know, and then how would you explain that to the children? Why mama and daddy have separate beds or separate rooms?
Can I answer that?
But let me just say this, and I'm going to let y'all do y'all program.
A lot of us are doing it right now.
Huh?
A lot of us are doing it right now. A lot of us. We can have the biggest, hear me again, women my age, a lot of us have the biggest smile on our face. And we go on. And we go, okay, I'll give you a perfect example. My first husband, his brother and his wife, they slept in the same room. They traveled from one town to the other, from one city, one state to the other one. And they did it for about 30 or 40 years. You never knew.
Were they having sex? That was my only, that would be my only question.
They went their separate ways.
But were there sexual relations, marital relations during this 30-year period?
Yeah.
Well, see, that's different then. That's different. that's totally different, because there's no way that I could be in a marriage and remain, you know, faithful to the marriage just for the sake of the institution and a commitment that I made, and not have sexual relations. I'm like, you know, how did they make that work? Was it an open marriage or whatnot? And so for them to be able to have sex with each other and throughout all that 30-year time period, I don't even see what sense it meant, you know, for them to even leave each other. I mean,
and
what
how do we know that they had sex? We were not in the room.
Well, my sister-in-law told me.
Okay,
she told me that he was more in love. She was more in love with her husband, but he was more in love with her. When he left her, he told her, now this is what he said, when he left, he said he married her because he had got her pregnant. And back then, you had to marry. He said, and he felt bad because she had already had one child. And there she was pregnant again. And so his mother and father taught him to do the right thing.
Yeah, but it still sounds like there was love in that marriage. It doesn't sound like it was loveless. I mean, you described it as one being more in love with the other and him doing it more out of a sense of obligation. And obviously, he was still attracted to her physically because he's still making babies with her. So it sounds like there was some love there. Because
yeah.
I can't imagine people being in a loveless relationship for 30
but it was
years.
Enough to never hold him there after the girls got grown. He said he did it more out of obligation to his girls.
You know, if I were one of those girls, a child, and I saw my parents, you know, together, and I wasn't able to pick up on, you know, what children usually do. And as soon as I graduated from college or high school or wherever it was, and then they decided to go their separate ways, I would want to know, so you did this for me? So all these years y'all been together, y'all didn't really want to be together, but you just did it for me? I wouldn't like that. I really wouldn't. I would want them to be happy. Don't suffer because of me. Now I got a guilt trip hanging on my head because all these years you've been with this man that you really didn't want to be with. He didn't want to be with you. One of y'all didn't want to be with each other, but you stayed because of me. Well, I sure hell hope it was worth it.
But like
that's
you were
just
saying,
how I feel.
Like you were saying, I think that was you saying it earlier, Aja. I mean, like I've been divorced. I think my divorce was like finalized in 93 or 94. So I've been divorced that long, never remarried. But my ex-wife still lives in the same area. She never left the area. She didn't go back to Hawaii or anything. And so she still has been able to be as much as part of those girls' lives as she has wanted to. So just because two people, I mean, you can co-parent without cohabitating, you know, we've made
you
it
can.
Work. So, you know, and our girls are grown now.
Yes, you can, you really can. I don't regret getting the divorce at all. Actually, my daughter is closer with her father. Now that she's grown, than she was with him living there in the home. In the same, you know, we share the same bedroom and all of that. But they were not close at all when he was living with us. They didn't really get close until she became an adult. So I'm thinking, well, the reason why I'm staying in this marriage is because I want us to be a family. I'm unhappy as hell, you know. And so I just saw no reason, no real reasonable reason to continue to be so unhappy for the sake of save the children. You know, and then to be honest with you, I really feel that sometimes women say this, well, I'm just standing for, you know, I'm just going to stay in this marriage for the children, you know, because I want them to. But is that really the only reason? Is it just, could it also be that you don't want to let him go? You know, because this person that I'm talking about who stayed in the relationship all those years, from when those children were like 2 and 3 when she found out that he had a child outside the family, to now they're in college, one is in military. Do you know she's still there? They're gone. They are out, and she's still there. So what happened to, well, I just want to stay for the children. Now it's, well, I'm not going to probably be able to find anybody else. I just may as well keep him. Mm-mm. those out there and just listening to my voice, if you are being emotionally abused, do not feel that you have to stay in a loveless marriage for the sake of your children. Think of your children. Don't put your children through unnecessary harm and hardship because they can see you suffering. My daughter saw that I was suffering. Your children can pick up on that negative energy. You don't want them to feel that this is what a real marriage is like. A real marriage should be full of love, laughter, fun, passion, communication. That's what a real marriage should be like. It should not be, well, let's just stick this out for these badass children. Well, not badass children, but just for these children. I have just seen too many. I have too many incidents, Delta Cougar, of it just, you know, it's just not working. I mean, I know what you've taught and what you feel, but that emotional abuse, that's a book. That's a book.
Mm-hmm. Where is that Aisha hat? She out for quiet.
Well, I'm just listening to you, but I think it depends upon the person. Some women can handle emotional abuse better than physical abuse, and some women can handle physical abuse better than emotional abuse. And so, myself, I can't handle no physical abuse, but you can call yourself abusing me emotionally all you want to. I can deal with that, but you cannot touch me like that. I can't handle that.
Well, see, if they're not emotionally abusing you, they're not emotionally abusing you. You know, it's the person who's feeling it that's calling it emotional abuse.
Well, you hurt, but if you're hurting, if someone is hurting you, and you have the children with them, and you're staying for the children. I'm saying that in that case, if that was the original question, right?
Emotional abuse.
When do you leave?
Yes.
When do you leave? And then I stated, you know, if there's emotional or physical abuse, it's okay to leave if you have children. And so my thought is that, and I understand what you're saying, that if it's not hurt, if it's not abusive, I mean, there's this line between, I guess maybe what you're saying is hurt and abuse. I mean, you're dealing with it and you're just keep doing it, even though it's hurting you. But, I mean, to me, physical abuse and emotional abuse, and I've experienced both, but if I'm the rather, I'll handle that emotional abuse better. Because that means you're still being hurt either way you go.
What about emotional abuse in terms of cheating? I mean, I would consider that emotional abuse.
Yeah, me too.
And
me too.
But it's a physical act.
Still, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how well. I don't even want to make
okay,
it a gender issue.
Okay, let me
issue.
Say this, Scotty.
Okay.
When you're dealing with a relationship, it seems to me, okay, you can find some relationship where a woman is being physically abused and there's not any emotional abuse necessarily, where the man is treating her really well, he's caring, you know, and loving and whatever. Then you can find some where they are emotionally abusing you, but he would never touch you or hit you. He's just hurting your feelings and, you know, saying words maybe or that kind of thing. But he would never physically touch you.
Well, I mean, I've witnessed people in a physical domestic violence situation, and I've read about it, and you know, we've all heard stories. But to me, when I think about it, emotional abuse accompanies physical abuse, because I mean, you're manipulating that person to think that it's okay for them.
I wouldn't disagree with you there at all. I would not disagree that it does accompany it.
Okay. So
emotional abuse can also be when, say, for instance, a man, like you said, never touches her, never puts his, lays his hand on her in an angry manner. But they're out publicly. He's berating her. He's disrespecting her, publicly her. Yeah. Yes. On an ongoing basis.
I get it.
That's emotional abuse.
She's sleeping with his friends or his relatives or, I mean, come on.
Yes. Yeah, it's all kinds of emotional abuse. It's more than he hurt my feelings.
Yeah, it is. It's all kinds.
So,
I agree. Yeah, but it's I don't know. I think you can differentiate somewhat.
Between what?
Emotional and physical abuse.
Oh, definitely. That's a definite difference. That's a definite difference. But I'm just saying that to me, it is just as good a reason to break things off as it is for physical. Definitely physical. Get the hell out. Don't say, don't hit me again. Get the hell out the first time. Mm.
Oh yeah, for sure. The first little hit, peck, I'm through with you. Because I don't want to graduate to the other side of that.
Like you say, it depends on how much a person can take. Some people feel like they should take more than, you know, than normal. Like with me, I really, really wanted to leave my husband sooner than I did. But my mother was so crazy about him. He was such a good provider. He had a very good job. He was respectable, you know, outside of the home. And I had a lot of friends, a lot of people looked up to him. And stuff like that. But so far as how he treated me, I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. So I felt like if I just said, well, Mom, I want to get a divorce, she would be like, no, you need to stay with him. That's a good man. You know?
Well, they do that in that generation. They would do that. The women in our mother's generation, they believe, and even, I'm going to tell you, they even took that little physical domestic violence part as violence, period. I don't even know who got a domestic violence. You know, you're not, you know.
But they did that because of poverty.
They said, and then, and not only that, if they have affairs and things like that, and,
men don't cheat. Men don't cheat. That's just how men are. You know,
exactly.
No.
Exactly. No. That's what they think. They say, oh, they don't do anything. That's just the way men are. All men do that. And you're just,
all men do that.
Ain't nothing to be leaving your husband about.
Question.
And that's what they taught us. And that, and they stayed with those men, regardless if they were beating them, if they were having outside relationships, they stayed with them.
Because of poverty, right?
And that's my point.
Because of poverty as well. Poverty played a role in that. Poverty would play a role in that decision as well. That's another reason they was telling him to stay, especially if he had a good job, insurance, all that type of stuff, opposed, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's not like the wealthy where they get a bit, you know, millions of dollars in alimony. We're talking about poor people. The masses are poor. People. So I can see why a person will take that abuse, you know, because they don't want to be homeless or out on the street or forced into worse situation where they can't eat, no roof over their head. So, of course, people take that abuse for sustenance. So that's rooted in poverty.
Right. And sometimes a man will threaten the woman and tell them, if you leave, I will kill you. Mm-hmm. And they will follow through on that. So that was just a question that I wanted to bring to the audience, you know, because I've had some experiences, I've seen some things.
I think most women have experienced. I think most women, I would bet 99% have experienced emotional abuse. I don't believe every woman has experienced physical abuse, but I just think in terms of how difficult relationships are and how men live their lives and then how women live their lives and how we want to, women are the caregivers, the caretakers, the pleasers, and just how we've been indoctrinated as women kind of causes some of that to happen.
Yeah.
And
this
so,
is true.
Yeah, I think, I bet 100% of women can say they've been, I think, emotionally abused, you know, disrespected, belittled, or, you know, just hurt. For one reason or another, whatever that hurt or those emotions come from being harmed.
Then you go get a deadbeat. You go get a deadbeat that can't do nothing for you. And then you know, made it worse for your kids. And then your kids are suffering.
What do you mean? As opposed to somebody who's taking care of the family and then you...
That is correct. That is correct.
I see what you're saying. Well, one thing about it, there was this saying that you could love a wealthy man just as well as you can love a poor man.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. And so, but you're right. If you're going to be with someone, you may as well be with someone that's going to, you know, provide for you. I mean, that's what I say. Two, I'm agreeing with you, Delta Cougar. If you're going to be in a relationship that's going to be painful, you may as well have your children being taken care of well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I, for one, I don't believe in being in a relationship suffering anymore.
Well,
I'm unhappy.
I never did.
I'm hitting the door. Goodbye. Scotty, we have missed a break. Is it too late to take the break? You want to wait till 10:30?
I'm sorry. You can take it whenever. Your choice.
Okay.
Oh, man. This.
Uh-oh.
Oh man, this thing.
I got it for you, Aja.
Thank you. Black Rose just walked in, so I put my stuff on mute.
Oh, okay. Let me play that break for you. Y'all can continue. Let me see. Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
All right. Thank you so much, Scotty. Okay. Okay. Sorry, guys. I knew that was going to happen. Black Rose just came in. Okay, so this is what I would like to have for the mind, body, and spirit session for tonight. Love the body. Home remedies for skincare. And I also have a couple of recipes for Delta Cougar and anyone else interested in dropping a few pounds. So, they say black don't crack. All right, we've heard that a long time, many years. It's the melanin. Some people call it the fountain of youth. However, working in the skincare industry, I've met a lot of women of color, mostly of African descent, who feel that a simple rinse with water, you know, put on some foundation, a little powder, lipstick, and eyelashes, and that's all you need. I just ran into a lady that is a neighbor of mine, and she wanted to buy some foundation that I had. And all I had was powder. And so she was saying, well, when I put the powder on, it makes my skin look really dry. And so I asked her, I said, well, do you put your moisturizer on first? And she said, well, I don't use moisturizer. Because I almost tripped because she's in her 40s. So a lot of women, they feel that because we have this melanin in our skin, that we don't have to really take care of it, that we're going to look young and youthful and beautiful and all well-toned and firm forever. But that really isn't the case. We do need proper cleansing. We need proper moisturizing and an occasional deep pore, you know, mask and exfoliation for our skin as well, to keep our skin looking even toned. You know, as women of color, we have, you know, dark spot here, light spot here, and we tend to get a little acne because we've got oily skin. We've got we get the blackheads. We get the dark circles under the eye for staying up late, for being on a lot of stress. And it tends to wear on your skin. You don't get the proper rest. You know, and you may not have to worry about wrinkles, but good skin is more than the absence of wrinkles. So I have a couple of suggestions here for ladies. Cleanse, tone, exfoliate, and moisturize. That's what we have to do for our skin. You can get a deep pore cleanse clay mask for under $4. Freeman's, F-R-E-E-M-E-N, has a good line. You can pick them up at Target or, I hate to say Walmart, but Walmart. And for, you know, $3 or $4. Or you can use coconut oil and sugar. That makes a nice scrub. Don't use too much sugar. Just rub it in your hands so you get a nice fine grain. Witch hazel. Now, people like Estee Lauder, who I used to work for, they will sell you a bottle of toner for $20. But you can get witch hazel and it will get you the same results. The toner is actually to bring your skin back to its pH balance, its proper balance. Your body needs to stay in a certain pH balance, and that's what the toner is for. As we get older, ladies, past 40, 45, heading on up to 50, me and my 60, we tend to lose collagen in our skin. Our skin starts to lose its firmness. So raspberries, beets, tomatoes, habanero peppers, things that are red like that, they help increase the collagen in your skin, which improves the elasticity and the firmness, and it keeps it supple. If you don't want to pay a lot of money in the stores for different types of moisturizers and toners and things like this, I have a couple of recipes of things that you can buy in the store. If you have acne-prone skin, what this young lady did, she had like little acne things, and all she did was rinse her face with water. I was just, oh my God. Okay. Anyway, I gave her a facial and gave her some skincare tips. Honey and strawberries. You can mix honey and strawberries together and make you a home remedy for acne, and it tastes good. Strawberries, they have something in them, salicylic acid, and it's used in a lot of commercial acne treatments, but you can get this straight out of strawberries. So it encourages the epidermis of your skin, the top layer, to shed its cells more readily, and it opens up your clogged pores. And speaking of, and it neutralizes bacteria, and it helps shrink your pores a little bit also. So speaking of your pores, about once every month at least, just open up your pores. Just do the old-fashioned way. Get a big pot of water, boil it, put some sort of essence oil in it. Lavender oil or something like that, and you know, put your towel, drape it over here like we used to do back in the day, and just steam your face, open up the pores, and then put you on a good mask, a clay mask. You can get that anywhere. Benzonite is excellent. Benzonite, B-E-N-Z-O-N-I-T-E. Tighten up those pores so your skin will look firmer. Now, if you've got acne again, a banana peel. You can just take a banana, take that banana peel, just a peel, don't throw it away, rub it in the circle of motion over your face, just and let it stay on there for 30 minutes, and then rinse it off. When you do your final rinse, too, ladies, use the cold water so it'll tighten your pores back up. Cold water is really great for tightening up your skin. Here's another mask, avocado and honey. You know, I should have told you ladies to get a pen and paper. I'm going to do this again. Okay, so one avocado, one tablespoon of honey. Rinse your face with water. Pat it dry. Scrape out the inside of the avocado. Mash it up. Stir in the honey. Make it into a nice little paste. Apply it to your face. Leave it on for 15, 20 minutes. When you're done, just rinse it off with lukewarm water first. End it with your cool water to tighten your moisture, tighten your pores back. Now, you don't want to go and buy an expensive moisturizer, olive oil and milk, 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 2 tablespoons of lime juice, and 1/4 cup of milk. There you got a moisturizer. 2 to 3 tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil. 2 to 3 tablespoons of lime juice. Well, lime juice is really good for clearing up those spots. And fresh milk. 1/4 cup of fresh milk. Mix all that together. Put this on your skin. It sloughs off the grime and the dead cells, and you have a flawless looking face. Okay? Coconut oil is also a good moisturizer. You can just put that on by itself. I love the coconut oil. All right. Now, let's get to dropping a few pounds. I'm only going to give you a couple of things because I don't want to give you too much. Try. First thing in the morning, reach for the ceiling. When you're in your bathroom, raise your hands up as if you're trying to touch the ceiling. Do not stand on your tiptoes. Just raise them up. You're doing a good stretch. Okay? Once you feel that you've reached as high as you can, take a deep breath, reach a little bit more, reach 1 inch more. Count to 5. Fold your body over, drop down to the floor, let your hands get as close to your feet as possible, count to 5, will slowly raise back up and do the same thing. Do this 5 times every day. Your waistline will dwindle. Trust me. I've done it. I know what I'm talking about. Another one is Delta Cougar. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Okay. It was so quiet. It's like, am I doing all this talking and nobody's listening? Okay. Another one is, stand in the mirror. Put your hands on your hips and let your back on. No, really. Stand in the mirror. Put your hands on the hips and do a figure 8. Make an 8 with your body. Okay, you're going to squat down just a little. You're going to bend your knees just a little bit so you can get that moving going. Get that hips, get those hips moving, okay? So you're going to do an 8 with your hips, okay? Do an 8. You're not going to move the top of your body. You're only going to move some hips on down, okay? Do an 8 5 times. And a better way to do it would be to put on some music. You like gospel music, put on your favorite gospel tune. You like rhythm and blues, put that on. If you like Marvin Gaye, Sexual Healing, put that on. Whatever you like, put on some music and do this 8 times. Not 5 times. 5 times is cool. But do the figure 8. Now, let me tell you what this is doing. This is, because you're squatting, you're bending your knees, this is firming your thighs. You know, as you get older, ladies, your thighs get a little wibbly wobbly. Okay, so you're firming your thighs, you're firming your buttocks, you know, buffs tend to, you know, get that gravity going when it was like 56, it's like drops. So you're firming your buttocks, you're firming your thighs, you're dwindling your waistline down, and guess what else? Oh, your tummy, you're tightening your tummy, and this is like a Kegel exercise. You're tightening the pelvic, you're tightening your yoni. You're tightening your little coochie. That is like a Kegel exercise because you are tightening this area down in here, your pelvic area. So that is working all that, your uterus, your bladder, your small intestine, all of that. It's working all of that just by doing the figure 8. And you only got to do it, I would say, put on a record and do it to the record until the record is off. Records usually last about 2 to 3 minutes. If you can't do that, just do it 5 times, okay? Those 2 things, you'll really see a difference. And when you get a little bolder, walk. It's the best exercise next to swimming. And the swimming, you need a bathing suit. You got to be worrying about your hair getting wet. You got to find an indoor pool. You got to worry about the water being just right. With walk, all you got to do is put on some tennis shoes and walk. Walk. Delta Cougar, I think when I visited you, there's a dollar store about 15 minutes from you.
Yes, walk. It is.
Walk to that store, turn around, and walk back home. Or walk to the store, go in there and get something. Walk in there just like, oh, what they got in here? Let me see. Let me check y'all out. So walk through the store and walk out. You may want to just, you know, get some cool air if it's warm, and walk out. Walk back home. Do that three or four times a week. That's the best exercise. You will be surprised as you see your weight fall off. Walking is wonderful, and you need no equipment. You don't even need anybody. Just do walk by yourself. Walking is the best exercise you can possibly do. You're exercising your heart, you know, your cardiovascular. You're working those heart muscles. We've got to take care of our bodies. We've got to take care of our heart. If we want our bodies to take care of us, love your body and your body will love you back. That's what I say. And ladies, no full meals after 8 o'clock.
if you haven't eaten by 8 o'clock, let it go. Just eat a snack.
But suppose you haven't all day, Asha.
If you haven't eaten all day, if you haven't eaten all day, why? Why have you? Why have you? You don't do that to your body. That's what I'm saying. Love your body. Now this can happen maybe every now and then, but you should not treat your body like that.
What about a little light? What about a little light juice?
Snack. Snack.
Something. But
snack. A light snack.
A salad or something.
A salad is good because your body.
They're filling.
Your body. Well, I don't know how filling it is. It depends on what all you put in that salad. It depends on what you put in that salad.
Oh, you know them kind of salads I make.
It's like a whole meal.
yeah.
But see, you're throwing your body off track.
I know.
When you, because your body has a rhythm. Your body has a rhythm, and you're going against its rhythm when you're sending food down there at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, because your body is in the process of digesting the food that you've eaten all day. And which reminds me, here's a smoothie for you. You don't have to eat a full meal. I'm into smoothies now. You can replace one of your meals with a smoothie. If you hadn't eaten all day and you're worried about whether you're going to have some nutrition, because you don't want to go to bed with no nutrition in your body, then that's where the smoothie comes in. Because with the smoothie, you can have your fruit, your banana, your mango, your kiwi. All these are superfoods. Pineapple, put a little kale in there, or mint, or cilantro, which pulls the toxins out of your body. Watercress also pulls the toxins out of your body. Watercress is the most nutrient vegetable there is on this planet, and you never hear anything about it. It's more nutrient than the cilantro, and it's cheap like cilantro. Put that in a smoothie, whip, put a few ice cubes in there. You've got all the nutrition your body needs. Cucumber, man, the variations are limitless. Okay, let me give you a recipe for a smoothie. And I'm gonna give you, now, ladies, I'm gonna put you on the spot. Are you using moisturizers every day?
No, I don't. I'm being honest. And I got them. Moisturizers. I have the kind from Mary Kay.
So why did you stop using it? Because I know you started, because you paid for it.
I know. I get busy, caught up with these grandkids. I'm being honest.
So your grandchildren are pulling at you as soon as you get up in the morning?
Well, I get up in the morning to get my grandson on the bus, and I'll get up every morning. At 6 o'clock.
Okay, so when do you brush your teeth?
I brush my teeth around about the time I get him up. And
okay, so a toothbrush, let me cut you off. A toothbrushing could go right back, a moisturizer could go right behind that toothbrush. It's just that important. It is just that important. What do people see? No matter how expensive your purse is, no matter how expensive your wig or weave is, no matter how expensive your nail job is, what do people see first when they see you?
They see your face.
All right. That's the first thing they see.
Dr. Cougar, you don't use moisturizer.
She doesn't use moisturizer, Black Rose. You know I am about that moisturizer.
Ooh, that's just a no-no.
That's a no-no.
Well, not like I should. I'm just being honest. I do have it.
though, I mean, I do have, I have both.
Having it and using is two different things. I can have a toothbrush, but not ever brush my teeth.
Deodorant. Don't ever use
it. Yeah. Never put it under my arm. Oh, that's a cool one.
You know what?
When you hang up this phone, oh my goodness, you have got.
Wendy Williams go ahead, just did a little. Wendy Williams just did a quick little special on.
I watched it.
Oh, God,
I know what
Margaret
you're going to say.
Avery.
I watched it.
Right. You saw her. Margaret Avery. Who plays
Suge
and who plays Gabrielle
Union's mother. Y'all know I have to tell you when somebody tell me. Chances say, open up his mic.
I don't even see Chances number in the queue.
Okay, let me put my glasses on. I know it's Chances. Let me put my eyeglasses on. I know it's Chances. Okay, go ahead and I'm going to look. I put my glasses on.
Yeah, so Wendy Williams did a special on Margaret Avery, who is, I think she says 74, and she still looks the same way she looked when she played Suge Avery on Color Purple.
Does she?
Yeah, I mean, in fact, she looked better, and that's
wow.
About a lot of us.
Did you see the one which one are you talking about, the lady that was 72 that played in Color Purple?
Yes. Mm-hmm. She
didn't she? Oh my
she
God.
She looked gorgeous. I mean,
oh my God. I
she looked beautiful.
She looked every bit of 50
and,
years
and
old.
Yeah, and you know what?
This lady is obviously taking care of herself.
But let me say this. My point I'm trying to make is Wendy Williams made a point that she moisturizes. Yeah, she made a point that Suge Avery, Margaret Avery, excuse me, she moisturizes, and that was her whole segment, that this is what your skin will look like when you moisturize. I have been moisturizing.
And then also, can I give a tip too? I heard Oprah did a show one time, and I want to mention this one to Audra. Oprah did a show, and they had this white lady on, and everybody was guessing. Oprah asked them to guess her age. And then everybody was guessing that the lady was 50-something. But really, the lady was 85 years old, or 88. She was way up there. But she looked so young. And the lady said that she learned this from a little bitty girl, from her mother and her grandmother. They were by the original Crisco. They were not by the off-brand. They were by the original Crisco. And she said her mother will do her whole body in Crisco and will do her whole face in it. And she said her mother will let it sit on her body for over 30 minutes or more. And her mother would go and wash it off. But she said her mother would use that as a moisturizer, and she said that's all she has ever used, nothing but pure crystal.
Now, ladies of melanin-dominated people, don't try that, because Caucasians have very, very, very dry skin. They have extremely dry skin, which is one of the reasons why they tend to crack so easily and show wrinkles. We don't really push using a lot of oil on your face because we have very oily, we have normally oily skin.
Yeah.
Our skin is normally, we have a few out there who have dry skin, but normally our skin is you know, it's pretty oily or combination.
Combination.
We need sort of a creamy kind of moisturizer. Although you can use coconut oil at night, but I wouldn't suggest using any kind of oil going out into the day. No, because you'll be dripping. Yeah, you'll be dripping. But their skin is different. Their skin is different from ours. And that's one thing that we have to realize. We can't use the same thing that they do. Like they used to trip. by the fact that we would go, you know, a week or two without washing our hair. And they would say that was dirty. But actually, they were the ones that were dirty because their hair was so oily, it would attract dirt so quickly that they had to wash their hair. They had to wash their hair as often as they do. You know, we don't really have to. We don't. Our hair doesn't attract oil the way theirs does. In fact, we have to keep our hair moisturized because we tend to have, dry scalp.
We have to have water. We have to have moisturizer. Well, let me mention this, and then I want to play a clip to close out
the
rest of the evening.
And don't forget
the
letter.
I want to thank. I'm going to have to do the letter on the next go-around.
Okay,
yes, I walked in. And, but we have a couple. So what we'll do is Sunday, we'll read two letters. Because, you know, people are waiting to hear what advice you have for them. So, I want to say this. I was in the airport. Well, let me just go back a little bit. So I've been in Detroit. And this past weekend, we went over to Flint, and we went door-to-door delivering water to the people in Flint, and it was a great experience. It was just a super great experience. We went by the Flint River. Of course, you know, Red Cross is set up there, and they have places where people come and donate water to be delivered. I don't trust the Red Cross, not one bit. And right
I don't
now,
either.
So, because... the reports have come out that they don't spend the money that we donate.
Nope.
The money doesn't reach people. It was a report just recently, the Cancer Society, Red Cross, it's a couple of the so-called charitable organizations. Just like Red Cross collected all of that money for Haiti, and they only built six homes. 6 homes now out of the millions and millions that they collected, and particularly for the earthquake in Haiti. Think about all the other millions that they have. But as long as you just allocate a small percentage of what you collect, of what's donated, then you're still in the clear. So they make laws to get away with what they want to do, which is a great segue into our topic for Sunday. We're going to back up on emergency managers, and I want all of us to take on this research and study these emergency managers. We're going to go through and through. We're going to go through the date, and we're going to just break all of this down because this is very important. If this continues in Michigan, then this is a complete, absolute suspension of our democracy, so-called democracy in this country. So, if we don't want to sit here and be going through what places like Flint is going through, places like Detroit, Saginaw, Benton Harbor, where an innocent Reverend Pinkney, can be locked up with no evidence, then we got to get on it. So, with that said, we went over to Flint, and like I said, that was a great experience. I was in the airport today, standing in the long TSA line, you know. You know how you're just standing there, you're just looking around, looking at people. And so I looked to the right of me, like directly next to me, and I said, that little white man sure looks familiar. And I looked, and I kind of looked, and then I looked away, and I said, damn, I said, that's that Dr. Edwards from that school in Virginia that tested the water in Flint.
Wow.
And so, I tapped him and I said, is your name Dr. Edwards? And he paused and he said, yeah. I said, wow, unbelievable. And he said, I just want to say thank you so much for your work that you've done with Flint and testing the water in Flint and bringing this to the forefront. It was him and Dr. Anna Teach. Dr. Anna Teach was the pediatrician in Flint. She noticed that a lot of the children coming in for checkups had elevated lead levels. That's what led to the having the water tested by this doctor, Dr. Edwardson Flint. In addition to, of course, the people kept complaining about the smell and the color of the water, itchy skin, peeling skin, teeth falling out, children, cognitive abilities decreasing, things like that. So I told him, I was like, wow, it's amazing that I'd be standing right here. We were in Flint this past weekend, and I just want to commend you on the work that you've done. Thank you so very much for saving Flint and working to save Flint. And so I said, so what, were you in Flint just now? And he said, yeah, they just had a hearing about Governor Snyder. Somebody had a really good name for him. I think it may have been Canton. Where is Canton? Did Canton, he didn't call back in, huh? I guess not.
No, I put my glasses on. Canton is in New Jersey.
He what?
He's in New Jersey. I'm sorry.
Okay. So, anyway, so I talked to him, and I mentioned to him, Delta, that the water in Gulfport, Mississippi, was contaminated from the oil spill. So he said, send him some water, and he will test it. Because y'all have got water tested down there.
Wow. So, that sounds good.
So you can send me the bottle, or I can get you the information on how to send it and all of that. And so it was just a great experience meeting him. I want to go back to emergency managers, but does anyone have any closing comments? And then I'm going to play this clip, and we can close out.
Ladies, moisturize. Moisturize every day.
Okay, we will do that.
Okay. And incorporate some kind of physical activity into your life.
Physical activity.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, just walk. Okay. Dance!
Okay, okay. So, Icy Hot, did you have something? Are you trying to say something?
No, no, I was just saying, yeah, I agree with Asha.
Okay. And, oh, Icy Hot had a great show on Tuesday. Did we briefly touch on your topic? No, I always like to highlight Mother Hattie's show.
No, we didn't say anything. No, well, this is about relationships. We'll get into that next time.
Okay.
What do you think? Oh, Sunday? Want to do it Sunday?
Yes. Yes. Sunday will be great. Sunday will be great.
Okay.
So,
that way we don't take away from that thought.
Okay. Well, thank you so very much, Mother Zola. Thank you, Delta. Thank you, Icy Hot. Thank you, Scotty. We're going to close out, and we will be back. Yes, we'll be back on Sunday night, 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Oh, Scott, I have a clip I was going to play.
You got 8 minutes left.
Yeah, Scotty's trying to take us to the bridge. Wait a minute,
Scotty. Scotty, I'm tired of y'all. Hold up there, Scotty.
Michigan Governor Rick Snyder, as many know, recently signed into law legislation making Michigan the nation's 24th right-to-work state. But a development which received far less ink and airtime is the fact that painfully early on December 14, 2012, about 48 hours after the right-to-work law became reality, the Michigan legislature approved legislation to push Michigan right back into the same basic emergency manager system that the voters had just finished repealing through their approval of Proposition 1 last November. These emergency manager laws operate in several states, so Michigan's actions could deeply affect populist efforts everywhere to defang or dissolve the emergency management system that many see as the road to local tyranny via state-appointed autocrats, whose emergency management task is portrayed as a heroic rescue mission for cash-strapped localities. Of course, not all emergency management actions are necessarily bad. Some localities, vexed by corruption or mismanagement, do need help, but the price paid for such tight-fisted management appears to be uncomfortably high. Influential West Michigan activist Reverend Ed Pinckney, who helped get Prop 1 on the ballot in the first place, says the right to work law's passage was a subtle form of retaliation against voters for overturning the emergency management law. The good governor, a self-described venture capitalist, championed the emergency management law while unions opposed it. Reverend Pinckney lives in the emergency manager city of Benton Harbor, and a new emergency manager was just introduced there. The former one, Joseph Harris, who previously managed Detroit finances, was replaced. But the well-known words, meet the new boss, same as the old boss, coined by the WHO, come to mind among many citizens in Benton Harbor. Meanwhile, more people are realizing that right to work provides an out for U.S. employers so they can pay lower wages and bring the domestic job market on par with lower paying foreign locales. Surely unions do have some drawbacks, such as teachers' unions and other unions that protect mediocre educators and other public workers, thereby downplaying or ignoring individual merit on the job. But others say unions uphold the wages and benefits needed to give the average worker a shot at upward mobility to forge a stronger middle class. The emergency manager law that Michigan voters repealed as Public Act 4 was broadly disliked specifically because, under it, a state-appointed emergency manager could not only dissolve the authority of city councils, school boards, and other elected bodies, this manager also could become the local viceroy with broadsword power to dissolve or rewrite union contracts and dictate budgets. So emergency managers, if left unfettered, can establish a virtual fiefdom that suppresses the basic democratic structure. After Public Act 4's repeal, Michigan temporarily reverted to an old 1990 emergency management law. However, just as voters breathed sighs of relief from Public Act 4's defeat, their joy was abruptly thwarted by a brand new emergency management reform. That new EM law, as it's known for short, seems more acceptable than Public Act 4's terms, such as the part that gives troubled cities a choice of getting an emergency manager or choosing other options, such as Chapter 9 bankruptcy or perhaps mediation. But as Reverend Pinckney told this reporter about the new management law, I understand that you cannot vote it down, quote, end quote. Indeed, if the new law goes bad for the public, the voters cannot even repeal it because the new law carries a budget appropriation enabling the state itself to pay for any emergency managers assigned to school districts and cities, rather than forcing the locality to pick up the tab like before. Is that really an acceptable trade-off? Well, the new law upholds at least some of an emergency manager's powers to void or rewrite union contracts, meaning that a key corporate tool was upheld to suppress unionism, and the new law can be amended to broaden emergency management powers over time, right while being shielded from a voter veto, essentially forever. In this way, it appears the tables were definitely turned on the Michigan electorate. Back to you.
Okay, are we still online? Hello? Everyone seems to be muted. And I suspect...
Hello?
Yes, I can hear...
I guess everybody hung up. I was listening.
No, nobody's hung up. So I guess we lost Black Rose. I don't see her number. I think she got 917 number. And I don't see it. So we'll go ahead and close out the show. Will y'all be on air Sunday night?
Yes.
Okay. Do y'all know what y'all be talking about?
She said we're going to talk about these city managers. She sent us a link and told us to start studying on them. So we're going to be talking about the city managers.
All right. Looking forward to hearing that conversation. So that'll be next Sunday.
Oh, yeah. That should be a great conversation.
At 10 p.m. because...
Yeah, Governor Snyder's situation is really a very...
It's scary. It's scary.
Well, we can see that.
Well, we see it. That's what's coming. That's what's coming over this, to me, over the whole United States.
And get your water checked out too, Delta.
I am. You
got a water sample? Do you have a water sample right now? What's that?
My sister just told me today when I went to my mom's house, she said, you know what? We're going to get some money back the whole state of Mississippi. And I said, why? She says, everybody that live in the state of Mississippi because of our water.
Really?
Mm.
I had to look that up. Can you send me something on that? Where do y'all be posting y'all information?
Okay, I'll send you some. Scotty, you got my number, 228-218-6100. Text me your information.
Well, you could just text me 704-817-2161.
Wait a minute, I didn't even write. Okay.
Yeah, that's 704.
Okay, give it to me again, Scotty.
704-718,
you say?
No, 704.
704. 4.
817. 2161.
2161.
Yep. So, okay. I look forward to listening to y'all Sunday night, but we're going to go ahead and close it out.
Okay.
All right. Good night, listeners.
Good night.
Good night.